What's up, guys? How we doing? Let's try that again. How's everybody doing tonight? Hey, so pumped to see you guys. Hey, you guys may notice, that I don't know if you know this, but just so you are aware, all of our sixth graders are right now, they're upstairs. And here's why we did that. I want you to get this. We did that because we want to create room for all of your friends to join us. For all of your friends to be with us, we noticed that our room was getting a little crowded, and so we decided for this year, we're going to do sixth grade. They're going to go to small groups before you guys. You guys will come in here at 7. We'll go have a service for you, and then the second hour, you guys will obviously go upstairs and into your small groups, and that's how things are going to work this school year. And the reason why, again, I want you to catch the vision of that, is so that we can reach more of your friends. We can reach more middle schoolers in Gwinnett County, because that's what we want to do. We want to reach more of you. Now, how many of you guys have had a good first 2 days or day or haven't started school yet, whatever? All right, so school, so thumbs up if school's off to a good start. Thumbs up. Thumbs down if it's terrible already. Okay, no, I don't see many thumbs down. Okay, I see a few. All right, well, bummer, but either way, we're so glad you guys are here. And let me tell you what we're doing. We are starting a brand new series tonight called Circles. And the whole point of this series, right, is that we want to look at three key relationships that we all have. Three key relationships that you have, that I have. And these are relationships, these are three relationships that are designed, right, and ordained by God for you and I have, for me to have, right? So before I say anything else, I want to go ahead and give you from the start, here's kind of a key thought tonight, or a bottom line statement. Here it is. God must be first. God must be first. Now, I don't know if this is going to work, because we just tried to do this in the back, and I don't know if it's going to work, but I want to draw a picture for you guys. Any artists in the audience? Any artists? Okay, I am not an artist, okay? So you have no permission to make fun of my bad drawing, okay? So I'm going to try this and see if it comes up. If it does, great. And so this is a picture of, it's supposed to look like a bullseye, okay? So there's three circles in this picture, and I'm drawing this with my finger, guys, okay? And so here's the third. So this is what we're going to talk about tonight. Is we're going to talk about this circle tonight. That's pretty good. Give it up. Come on. That's pretty good. All right? And so, simply put tonight, the way that God designed relationships to work, right? The relationships in your life, the relationships in my life, the way that he designed it is that he would be first. That God would be first, that God, right, you can, if you're drawing with me, and this is going to be brutal, but God is supposed to be in the very center of our life, in the very core of our life. That's what we're talking about tonight, is the core relationship that we have. Now, when we say the core relationship, we also mean this is the most important relationship. This is the relationship that we should put first, that we should spend the most time thinking about, right? And God should be at the core. And here's the thing. I want to talk to you about what that looks like. But before I do that, I want to ask you guys a question. What is something that inspires you? I want you to think about that. What is something that has ever inspired you? And at the count of three, just yell it out. I want to hear what you guys' answers are. One, two, three. Jesus, okay, thank you. Anything else? Music, I hear you. Books, anybody? Yeah, books. School, okay. So, now, for me, if I'm thinking about things that inspire me, right, I think of things like books. Books are inspiring, some. Anybody? Summer reading, you got inspired by all your summer reading? Yeah. Do you guys do summer reading in middle school? Yeah. Okay. Do they still have Cliff's Notes? That's what I used to read. What about movies? Movies, man. Movies. Movies are inspiring. Movies are inspiring, right? I'll tell you what else is super inspiring for me is certain TV shows. Now, has anybody in here, just show of hands, have you ever seen the show Extreme Makeover Home Edition? Has anybody ever seen that? It's such a good show, and let me explain why. Let me explain why it's such a good show. Because what they do is they take this family, right? This family that is just less fortunate than most of us, right? Maybe it's a family, their home is falling apart. They need a new house, all this kind of stuff. And what they do is this company comes in, and the whole town, like I'm talking the whole town, people go to this person's house. They send them away for the week. They go to like Disney World on a free vacation, which is amazing in and of itself. And then they come in and they totally renovate their entire house. But when I say renovate, I don't mean that they go in and just give them a new, you know, carpet and new furniture. I mean that they bulldoze the entire house and rebuild it up. I don't know if they do that in a week, but whatever. So anyway, and here's the best part of the show is that they bring this family back, and in front of their house is this giant bus that is just sitting in the front of their house, right? And there's crowds of people on either side so that when the family drives back through, they can't see anything. They can't see the house. They can't see what they've done to the house or anything like that. And so what happens is they pull up in this limousine or the stretch limo, whatever. They pull up and they get the family out. And all at a count of three, everybody imagines in the entire city or in the entire town that's helping to make this thing happen, to build this house, they all count to three, and at the count of three, they say, move that bus. And what happens is they move the bus, and literally this family is picturing their brand new house, and these houses are not just these little rinky-dink shacks. They are legit, right? So as a matter of fact, I want to show you what this looks like. I want to see. And I'll be honest with you guys. Hopefully you guys won't make fun of me. But sometimes when I watch this show, I tear up, okay? Because it is so inspiring and powerful. So I want you guys to do me a favor and check out this short video of this family. Anybody tearing up a little bit? Just, you know what I mean? No, but did you guys see that house? I mean, it's amazing. Did you see the before and the after picture? I mean, it's like, no offense to their house before, but it was, you know, it's kind of a brick home. And now it looks like a Disney home, you know? I mean, it's just crazy what they do. And they do that in just weeks of time. And what inspires me is that they help the people that really need it. What you didn't know about this family is that they spend most of their time giving back to people who are even less fortunate than they are. And so what happens is the whole community comes together and they say, you know what, man, we want to bless this family. We want to do something special for them that will literally change their lives. It's so cool. And what's even more awesome is that the scripture, the Bible, is full of stories that are inspiring. They're full of stories that push us and motivate us and challenge us, right? And I want to encourage you and invite you to read with me. There is a passage or a story that I want to read you tonight. There should be a Bible right underneath your chair, or maybe in front of your chair. And this is the story. It's in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3 is in the Old Testament. And it's Daniel chapter 3. And this is a story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So some of you guys know this story. Some of you guys understand the story, but I want to read some of this to you guys. Some of this to you. It's a long story, so I encourage you. It's Daniel 3, verses 1 through 30. When you get a chance, I'd love for you to read it yourself and set your eyes on the scripture, because it's a powerful, powerful story. And I want to read, like I said, I want to read some of it to you tonight. Now, there's a king in the story. And his name is King Nebuchadnezzar, right? Great name, great name. So King Nebuchadnezzar, this is what the king does, is he builds this giant golden statue. And it's 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. So imagine if you can, 9 basketball goals high, okay? That's how high this thing is. Much higher than this room, obviously, right? And 9 feet wide. And he builds this huge statue, and he basically tells these people, he summons all these people, and this is what he says. He says, when you guys hear the sound of music, then you are to bow down to this statue and worship this statue. Right? So what happens in the story is that this group of people come to King Nebuchadnezzar and they're like, hey, I want to make sure that I understood you right. You said that when the music starts to play, that everybody, right, is supposed to bow down to this golden statue. And King Nebuchadnezzar's like, yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly what I said. And so these guys are like, well, there's these 3 guys that refuse to do that. They will not bow down to the statue. I want to read some of this with you. In chapter 3, verse 6, I'm just going to skip around a little bit, but it says, whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. So basically, if you choose not to bow down to the statue, you're going to be thrown into this blazing fiery furnace, right? No fun. Where you're going to be burned to death, right? And then this is what happens. So all the peoples come together, they fell down, and they worship this image of gold that was set up. And then verse 12, it says, but there are some Jews who have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. In other words, they're very important guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay you no attention, right? Verse 12, who pay you no attention, O king. They neither serve your gods, nor do they worship the image of gold that you have set up. So King Nebuchadnezzar gets furious. I mean, he is in a rage. He is mad at these guys, and he tells them, bring these guys to me. Bring these guys over to me, right? And so what happens is, in verse number 15, top of the page, it says, he's talking to the 3 guys. He says, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image that I made, good. But if you do not worship this image, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, verse 16, my favorite part of the passage. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Verse 17, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God that we serve is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, O king. So basically, they are telling the king, hey, listen, I get it, but understand that the God that us 3, the God that we serve, he's going to save us. You can throw us into the blazing furnace all you want, but we know that he is going to save us. And then he says this, but even if he doesn't, even if God chooses not to, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods, and we will not worship the image of gold that you have set up. So what we have here is we have 3 guys who are told, if you don't bow down to this golden image, right? If you don't bow down to this golden image, then what's going to happen is I'm going to throw you into this fiery furnace where you are going to be burned to death. So Nebuchadnezzar tells them this, and then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they reply, they say, hey man, listen, we know that God will save us. And if God doesn't save us, if for some reason he doesn't save us, we're not going to bow down to the golden image. We're not going to do what you're telling us to do, regardless of whether or not God saves us or not. And so reading on in verse 19, he ordered the furnace. He was so mad at these guys that he ordered the furnace to be 7 times hotter than normal. So heat this thing up 7 times hotter than normal, and let's see what happens to these guys. So reading on in verse 20, it says, so he commanded some of the strongest soldiers in the army to tie these guys up and to throw them into the furnace. So these men who were tying them up, right, they were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent, verse 22, that the furnace was so hot, check this out, that the flames of fire killed the soldiers who took up the 3 men. So imagine what's happening. They're taking Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into this furnace. It is so hot that the soldiers that had to take them and deliver them to the furnace, they were burned. It was so hot. And so as we read on, it says the king, in verse 24, the king leaped to his feet in amazement and asked, "Weren't there three men that were tied up and thrown into the fire?" They replied, "Yes, yes, there was." Verse 25, he said, "Look, I see four walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of the gods." So what happens is King Nebuchadnezzar builds this huge statue, this huge golden image. He says, "Bow down to it. If you don't bow down to it, you're going to be burned." Throws them into the blazing furnace. The soldiers that took them there, they burn to death. And then King Nebuchadnezzar is looking into the furnace and he sees not one, not two, not three, but four silhouettes of people, and he's confused. And what happens is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come out of the furnace and they are, not a hair on their head was singed. Not a garment was burned. And it said that it looks like the fourth was the son of the gods. In other words, God himself, Jesus, perhaps, came and brought them out of the furnace and saved them. So he did exactly what they were confident that he would do. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I read that story, it inspires me. It inspires me because what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had figured out is that the core relationship in their life, the most important thing in their life, the first thing in their life, and more than anything of who they wanted to please, was God himself. God was at their core. And so what does that mean for you, and what does that mean for me? It's a powerful, powerful thing. What does it look like for God to be at the core of your life, at the core of my life? And I think Jesus spoke to this very, very well. And I'm going to read a passage. It's going to come on the screen in Matthew 22. The Pharisees were trying to fool Jesus, and they said, "Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? What's the most important thing to know? What's the most important commandment to understand about living for you and all this kind of stuff?" And Jesus looks at these Pharisees that were trying to trick him, and they say, he said, "The most important thing is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." He said, that is the most important thing. That is the first. That is the greatest. That is what must be at the core, in the center, most important, in the middle. That's it, is that you love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your mind and with all of your soul. That with everything about you, with every part of who you are, that God comes first. That God is first, that every single part of us, we love God to the core. Now, I have to be quick through this, but I want to show you this visually. And I know you guys have seen this before, but obviously these four boxes are things that are very important to us. We have God, we have sports, we have friends, we have church and family. And a lot of times what happens is that when we come to church and we act a certain way, right? That we want to please God and we want to be who God wants us to be. So at church, we may act a certain way, but when we go and we hang out with our friends, right? This is the friends one, right? Nope, yeah. When we hang out with our friends, what happens is we suddenly forget about this God box. And so we don't really allow God to necessarily come with us when we're hanging out with our friends. We may act a different way. We may say things we normally wouldn't say. And sometimes when we're even on the sports field, I know this very well, we get competitive, right? We get, you know, mad at people, and we may say things to people. We may treat people on the sports field in a different way than we might treat them when, you know, we're hanging out with God. And a lot of times what happens is, instead of God being in every single part, being the core, the center, the middle, the most important part of our life, we kind of just, when we're at church, we're hanging out with him. But when we're with other people or doing our other thing, or even sometimes when we are at church or when we're with our family, right? God doesn't necessarily always, he's not always the most important. And visually, the way that this works out, right? You guys have seen this before, is that God must be at the core. He must be the most important. And so God, everything fits inside the God box. Because God has to be at the center. And this is the thing that you have to get before we go. This is the key. If you mess this up, if this is not what happens, then your relationships within life will not be what God intended them to be. When you put other things in front of God, and understand, I'm with you, it's hard sometimes to put God at the center. It's hard sometimes to make God the most important relationship that we have. It's hard sometimes for him to be at the core. But the reality is simply this. When he's not, then things will not make sense. When he's not, things will be confusing. When he's not, things are not going to work out the way that they were intended to work out. God must be first. And so what do you do with this? Really quickly, simply this. This is what I want to challenge you to do. And then tonight, you're going to actually talk about this in your small groups or in your grade groups. Two things that I want to encourage you to do. One is this: spend time with God. One surefire way to know and to realize and understand and to make an action step where God is in the center, where God is at the core, is that you spend time with God. You spend time with God. And when you spend time with God, here's the point. Choose a time that works for you. Some of you guys are morning people. You can't wait to wake up in the morning. I am not, right? So if you try to spend time with God in the morning, it's probably not going to go super well. It's probably not going to work out the best because you'll be real tired and you'll fall asleep and then you'll drool all over your Bible, you know, and it'll just be a disaster. Right? But choose a time that works the best for you. Secondly, choose a place that you're going to be uninterrupted. See, sometimes we want to spend time with God while somebody else is watching television right next to us. There's no way that I'm going to be able to focus on my relationship with God if somebody's watching TV in the same room. It's just not going to happen. So choose a place where you're uninterrupted. And thirdly, set a goal that is realistic. Now, I know for me, when I was your age, I remember going to summer camp. Came back from summer camp. I was on fire, man. I was excited about my relationship with God. I was passionate, ready to go. And I came home and I said, you know what? I am going to spend time with God every single day for one full hour. Now, that's a really cool goal. There's nothing wrong with that. That's actually a really great thing. The problem is that I started way too big. And what happened was, I got tired one night and I said, you know what, I'll just read two chapters tomorrow. Or I'll just read for a couple hours tomorrow. And of course, a day turned into a week, turned into a month. And then what happened is I got discouraged about my relationship with God and I didn't even want to spend time with him. So I encourage you to set something that's realistic. And you guys are actually going to talk about that tonight in your grade groups. And the second thing to do is simply this. Come to M12 every single week. We love when you guys are here. We are excited when you're here. We have room now for all of your friends. You want to bring your friends with you. We want them to come with you. We want to see them. We want to meet them. And we want you to be here every single week because we want you to feel safe. We want you to feel like this is a place where you don't have to be fake. You can be real. A place where you're loved on and cared for and listened to. A place where you have fun. A place where you have godly adults that are pouring into you. All of those things are important. And we are here to help you keep God at the core. Because when God is not at the core, things are not going to go well. So here's what I'll do. I want to pray for you guys really quick, and then you guys are going to go to grade groups in a second. So God, I want to do that. I want to pray for these students. Obviously, Father, your word is so clear. When you are not at the core, when the core relationship in our lives is not with you, then things are not going to go well. Things are not going to go the way that you intended for them to go. And so tonight, Lord Jesus, I pray for these students. I pray, God, that you would encourage them to begin spending time with you, to begin setting aside time that they can be and hang out with you, Lord Jesus. And I pray also, God, that you would help us all to make you the core of our lives, because that's what you deserve and that's where you belong. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now here's what's going to happen, guys, really quick. What's going to happen tonight is a couple things. You're going to go into some groups, and I want to give you a couple questions just to go ahead and put in your mind that you'll get to a little bit later. First question is, what is something that inspires you? What is something that inspires you and why? You're going to talk about that tonight. Second question, God must be first. We've talked about that. Do you agree? Why or why not? Do you agree with that? Why or why not? And thirdly, why is it important to spend time with God? And what is one realistic goal, just one realistic goal that you can set for the next week for you to attain when it comes to having God at the core, having God in the center of your life?